Do you consider yourself a disciple of Christ, an imitator of Christ, one like Christ? How do you know if you're a disciple of Christ? The only way that you can know if you're a disciple of Christ is we must go to God's Word. That's what we're going to look at this morning about discipleship. What is it, and are we a disciple? It's good to see everyone here. It's good to have visitors with us. We're glad you came to be with us. And it's again, another year has gone by so fast. The last Sunday of the year, the last month of the year, we're going to go into a new decade. And I want us to consider discipleship. Let's start first in Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to read Ephesians chapter 3 to get this in our minds, and then we're going to circle back to this thought in the second half of this lesson. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The word disciple is found approximately 270 times in the New Testament. The text that Jim read was one of those passages that contained that word. So do you call yourself a disciple? Do you know what it means? Let's take a look. What is the definition of discipleship? Well, W.E. Vine defines it as one who follows one's teaching. Disciple was not only a pupil, but an adherent. That means somebody that would adhere to what the teacher taught. So they are spoken of as imitators of their teacher. A learner, a follower, someone that acts like the teacher. So our goal is to be like Jesus. There are many passages that talk about discipleship. Luke 6:40 says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." Romans 8:29, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." But people see discipleship differently. One of the ways that some people see discipleship is like a list of things that I check off so that I can get a reward in the future. They see discipleship as rewards in the future. And that is true. There are rewards spoken of. Romans 5:9, "Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And we think of Revelation chapter 21 when it talks about God wiping away all our tears. There's going to be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There'll be no more pain. All the former things have passed away. There are going to be rewards in the future. But a lot of people see discipleship just as a checklist of things that we go through. Here's what the Bible says, so I'm going to be a disciple. I'll check this off, check this off, check this off. John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." So here's something else to add to our checklist. We must abide in his word. And when you think about Romans chapter 12, as we went through Romans chapter 12, there are about two dozen things that we came up with on a list of things that we must do to be a disciple of Christ. A couple weeks ago, we looked at 1 Thessalonians, a lesson on that. And there were two to three dozen things, if you went through in that short letter and underlined them, of things we must do. And it's important that we do things. Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So part of discipleship is doing things. Again, John 13, 34, and 35, on our checklist, we need to add that we love the brethren. We love the brethren as Christ loved us, and by this, everybody will know then that we're disciples of Christ, by that love that we have. Well, on our checklist, we need to have bearing fruit. John 15, the first couple verses there, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And in John 15, 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, this is... to me, it's such a strong passage that Jesus is talking about this relationship and bearing fruit, and God's going to prune us so that we bear more fruit. And again, it strikes me because these are some of the final words of Jesus before he died. Of all the things that he could talk about to his disciples, he talked about bearing fruit and abiding in his word. So as a disciple of Christ, what kind of fruit are we to bear? Well, we are to bear winning souls. Romans 1:13. The fruit that we are to bear is holy living, Romans 6:22. The fruit that we are to bear is good works, Colossians 1:10. Fruit we are to bear is praise and singing, Hebrews 13:15. Fruit we are to bear is the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. We could make a list of hundreds of things that we must do to be a disciple. And those are true. But we shouldn't just look at it as a checklist of things to do. Something else that a lot of people, if we call ourselves a disciple of Christ, we must do, we must put Christ first in our lives. He must come first. Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. To be a disciple of Christ, we must be willing to give up everything. We must be willing to give up everything and put Christ first. We must be willing to suffer for Jesus. Luke 14:27, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And again, at the beginning, when I asked, are we disciples of Christ? And you get so many different ideas about what a disciple is. This is one that a lot of people don't like to consider as bearing a cross. They want to go with Jesus when things are easy. They want to go with Jesus when the crowds love him. They want to go with Jesus and walk with him when he's doing all these miracles and great signs and wonders. But to go to the cross, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that kind of disciple. But that's one of the things that we must do, is we must take our cross and follow after Jesus. Luke 14:33, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. We must be willing to give up everything, to give up everything to follow after Christ. On our checklist of discipleship, that includes teaching and obedience. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Steadfastly, the disciples continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Did they do it just when it was convenient? No, they did it all the time. They did it when there was persecution going on. Why? Because they were disciples. They were followers. They were followers. And you stop and think, we've mentioned just a few things of the many things that are in God's Word that we are to do to be a disciple, to be a follower. And again, a lot of people, what's their motivation for doing those? Their motivation is, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, so just tell me what I have to do so I can go to heaven. Is there something wrong with that? Well, we'll look at that in a little bit. Things I check off a list to get a reward. Is this the kind of disciple that we are? We tell people, you need to come to services. You mean I got to come to services? You mean I got to come to Bible study? You mean I got to come to all the services? You mean I got to come on Wednesday evening when we've got this holiday to celebrate and this and that that's going on? Friends, what kind of disciple are we? We can do everything that we mentioned on our checklist. And does that guarantee us that we are going to go to heaven? We can make up a list of 500 things in the Bible that says we must do. We can go down and check off each one of those. Does that mean we're going to go to heaven? Doesn't mean we're going to go to heaven. Being a disciple is more than just having a checklist of things to check off so that I can get a reward in the future someday. Some people look at Christ and being a disciple as just a feeling that Jesus loves me. And this is a very popular belief out there. Jesus loves everybody. You know, all you have to do is open your heart and accept Jesus to come into your heart, and he'll save you. They'll quote John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. All you have to do is believe. And you see some people, they call themselves disciples of Christ, and it's like they're so ooey and gooey with love. You feel like if you get close to them, all of that love is just going to drip on you, but something is missing. There's more than just that feeling of love. Friends, we need to love Jesus, and we need to understand that Jesus loves us, but there's still something more. We need to look at that love that Jesus had for us as the motivation to do all of those things on that checklist. That motivation, and It's not either this checklist here or this feeling of love here, but it's got to be a combination of them. A combination, it's a relationship where I make it my heart's desire to submit to Jesus and strive to please Him every day. That's what discipleship is about. Being a true follower of Christ, being a true disciple. Do you think when the disciples, the apostles were with Christ, the disciples were with Him for 3 years, when they spent day and night together, do you think when they'd get up in the morning, they'd say, "Well, Jesus, what do we have to do today? What do we have to do today?" Or do you think they said, "Well, Jesus, what do we have to do today so we can go to heaven?" I doubt those thoughts entered their mind. Why wouldn't they ask that? It was because of that relationship. That relationship that they had with Jesus, where He was teaching them, they were like sponges that wanted to take in everything that He had to say. They wanted to learn about Him. We have everything that we need to know from Jesus of what to do to be a disciple. So back to my questions. Are you a disciple of Christ? Am I a disciple of Christ? Do we have the tools that we need? I think we do. We've got a heart. Our heart has to be willing. It has to be loving. We have prayer. We can talk to God. Just like the disciples could talk to Christ, we can talk to God. We have God's Word. We have the Bible, the complete revelation. They only had part of it. And we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit to help us, not in some miraculous way, but He's the one that revealed the Word. He's the one that can lead us into all understanding. He's the one that can comfort us. He's the one that can help us through life. We have everything that we need. And again, this is a relationship. Being a disciple is a relationship. And what is the Bible about? It's the story. It's a book from God, about God, and the relationship that He wants to have with us. And without this Bible, we wouldn't know that. He desires to have a relationship with us. Well, some people say, "Oh, I love God. I've got that relationship with Him. And when I want to meet God, you know, I go to the mountains. I go to the woods. That's where I meet God. I go to the ocean. I just love to go to the ocean to meet God." Is that where you meet God, friends? No. We meet God in His Word. When we open up His Bible and we spend time in God's Word, that is where we meet God, and that is where we learn about Him. We learn that, like we talked about in class this morning, He's a jealous God. He wants to have a covenant relationship with us. Does that sound like a checklist relationship? He wants to have a covenant relationship with us. It's described as a marriage relationship. We are the bride of Christ. He wants us to give Him our heart. He wants us to open our hearts and let Him come into ours. He wants us to love Him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. That's what a disciple is. That's what a disciple is, not saying, "Well, I checked off. I came to church this morning. I got to come tonight. Yeah, I'll try to make it here Wednesday." Or, "I love Jesus. Oh, look at this beautiful day Jesus gave us because He loves us so much." No, if we want to be a disciple of Christ, God wants us to have a relationship with us. And to be a disciple of Christ, we must want to have that relationship. if you want to be a disciple of Christ, there's got to be a lot of prayer involved. A lot of prayer. We've got to open our eyes to see what God has for us, what He wants for us. You know, there are so many times we know in our mind what we want. We want this, that, and the other. And sometimes we just need to stop and pray to God. And God, help me to see, help me to understand what Your plan is for my life. You know, I've heard of so many people talking to their children about, you need to get a good job, you need to get this kind of job, you need to go in this field, you need to go in that field. And I heard a person one time say, with their jobs, we need to pray to God that He would put us in a job where we can serve Him the best way, that we can let our light shine for God. Is that the kind of job that we think about getting? Or do we tell our children, you need to get a job where you have all of these benefits and so many weeks of vacation, and we leave God out of the picture? God wants to, He wants us to be first in our life. We need to pray. We need to pray to God for Him that He would open our eyes. We need to pray for courage. It takes courage to be a Christian. There are a lot of disciples that are basically, let's be honest, are cowards. And why would I say cowards? Is because we keep our mouths quiet. We don't speak out against things. We need to pray for courage. We need to pray that we would walk close to God. A lot of us want to walk with God, but not too close, because we want to hold on to God with this hand and hold on to the world with that hand. We've got to walk so close to God that we lose sight of everything else out in the world. Is that easy to do? It takes some practice, but that's what He wants us to do. And once we do that, we're going to be just like the disciples. They didn't worry about things because they had the Master with them, the one that could calm the sea, the one that could provide for any and everything that they needed. We need to have that kind of faith. We need to have the kind of faith that we've been studying about in Hebrews. Several years ago, when I made the decision to go into preaching full time, and I appreciate people praying for me, as Brother Code did this morning, but I told somebody what I was going to do, and he said, "Wow, you're really going to be a frog." And I had never heard that term before. He said, "Frog? What are you talking about?" And he said, "That's forever relying on God. Forever relying on God." And all of us, not just someone that's trying to find a group to work with and get support to preach and do God's word, all of us need to be forever relying on God. But what do? We rely on this, we rely on that. And when do we rely on God? We usually leave Him out. But we need the faith, like we've been studying about in Hebrews. We need to believe that God is powerful enough, that He's faithful enough, that He's wise enough, that He's good enough, that He's holy enough, that He's loving enough, that He is enduring enough to accomplish what He has set for us to do. You think back through Hebrews chapter 11, all of those tasks that those people were given to do. God was able to work with those people to accomplish that. That's the lesson that we learn in Hebrews. We might think that, well, we can't measure up to being like Christ, being a disciple of Christ. But when we understand the reality that God is able, we understand that we are not limited by ourselves. We are not limited by our wisdom. We are not limited by our strength or wisdom or resources, what we have or don't have. But God gives us the power. God gives us the power. Go back to Ephesians and let's look at this again. Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might through his Spirit in the inner man. Friends, there's a lot of things we can get from this passage, but this passage is describing that relationship that we are to have as a disciple of Christ, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. If we want to be a disciple, we've got to be rooted and grounded in love and let Christ dwell in our hearts through faith. To be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. To know the love of Christ. And again, that's part of discipleship, but it's not exclusively love and nothing else. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory. Friends, when we do all of these things, this checklist of things, when we do all of these things with the love of Christ in our heart, we think we can't do them, but Christ is able, God is able to accomplish those with us. For what purpose? To bring glory to him. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Friends, I hope we never think of being a disciple as just something that we go through and check off, well, I did this and I did this and I did this, so God's going to give me heaven. I hope we never think of being a disciple as just having that ooey-gooey love God and God loves me feeling. God wants us to walk with purpose. To be a true disciple and have the purpose of God. The purpose that he has for our life. And what purpose does Satan have for us? He wants to fill our life. Satan wants to fill our life with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. And he's busy doing that in so many people's lives every day. But God has a purpose for us too. He wants to fill our life with the fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to fill our life with those things that will bring honor and glory to him. Again, sometimes when we're walking, we aren't walking close enough to God that we lose sight of everything else. But we're walking at a distance from God and we get distracted by everything else. A lot of people will tell you that your life consists of the stuff that you have. Your life consists of your car, that nice car, your house, that big house, in a nice neighborhood, that job you have where there's lots of opportunities for promotion. That education you have, that vacation you went on, the recreation you like to do all the time. They'll tell you that's what life is all about. But friends, that's not what life is all about. What life is all about is that stuff that God puts in us. Those things that enable us to carry out his work, to bring honor and glory to him. And what does God want to fill our life with? What does he want to fill our mind with? Jesus. He wants to fill our lives with Jesus. If we call ourselves a disciple of Christ, then we must be filled with Christ. So how do we do that? Well, the process begins at baptism. We're baptized into Christ, we bury that old man, and then we rise to walk in newness of life. And then we grow Every day, day after day, we rise when we come up from that water and we make a choice. Each day we're going to make a choice. Am I going to choose God or am I going to choose the world? Am I going to become more like Christ or am I going to be more like self? Those things that I want to do for myself. God will not, we cannot be a disciple of Christ and have a divided mind. God will not tolerate a divided mind. It can't be some of this and some of that. God wants our whole mind. He wants all of our heart. There's no room for compromise with that if we want to be a disciple of Christ. Is it important being a disciple? It's a life or death matter. It's an eternal matter. Matthew 28, again, when I read John 15, those were some of Jesus' last words before his crucifixion. Now we have some of Jesus' last words. Matthew 28, go therefore and make what? Disciples. Make disciples of all nations. Not just the Jews, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There we see the process, the pattern of making disciples, and Christ is going to be with us through his word. Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, discipleship, there are things we have to do, but it's not just a checklist religion. Romans 6, 3 and 4, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's our purpose. We walk in newness of life. Is that easy? No, friends, change is seldom easy. It's seldom comfortable. It meets with resistance. It'll be hard if I rely on myself to do it by myself. So what do I need to do? I need to trust in God, have faith in God, go to God in prayer, spend time in his word, and remember that God is able. He is able to do all things, that he can provide for us. He has done everything that we need to do. We just need to have the faith to step out and follow him and be a disciple. Friends, a lot of people have ideas about what it means to be a disciple. To understand what a disciple of Christ is, we must go to the Word of God. Discipleship is not just having a checklist of things to go through and mark off our list and saying, my ticket's punched, I'm going home to heaven. Discipleship is not just having that ooey-gooey, God is love, God loves me, and I love God feeling. Discipleship is a relationship where I make it my heart's desire to submit to Jesus and strive to please him every day. Friends, is there anybody here that's not a disciple that wants to be a disciple? Again, it all begins with being baptized. Don't put it off. There are rewards that await us for being a faithful disciple, and there is punishment that is waiting if we are not a disciple of Christ. Again, friends, the choice is up to you. We invite you, we beg you to come forward now as we stand and sing.